A very pleasant good afternoon. We are glad that you are with us today as we go to the Bible for the answers that are on your heart and on your mind. Maybe some things happened today already that you have a question about. Well, we will go to the Bible for the answers, and we are honored to be able to be with you, and we are thankful that you have a desire and a heart to seek after the eternal things that the God of the universe will be able to answer through His Word as we go to the Bible for all those questions. The lines are now available, so go ahead and call right now at 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. If you would rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Either way, you can communicate with us. The questions are yours. You set the theme of this program, but God Himself will be the one who answers it through His Word as we let the Bible speak. So don't hesitate. Go ahead and call right now and join us with your questions, and we'll go to the Bible for the answers. We'll give you book, chapter, and verse, and we do not apologize for that, because when we all stand before God in judgment one day, it will not be based upon what man says or what man believes. What we'll be judged by is what does God say and what does He expect of us as we continue in this life. The Word of God is sufficient to furnish us thoroughly to every good work. And 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 3, that the apostles were promised, and Peter says that we have now been given all things that pertain to life and godliness through His Word. So we will go to the Bible for the answers that are on your heart and mind. Before we get to our first question, let me remind you also that this is a live broadcast, and you can let your friends or relatives who may be outside this broadcast area to also tune in simply by going to our website right now at www.BibleAlone.com. BibleAlone.com, and they can hit the live stream button, and they can join us anywhere in the world. Matter of fact, while you are on that site, you can even send us text messages from our website. At the bottom of the screen, there is a small little white block that you can type in your question there. And once you hit send the text, it will come directly to us here at the studio, and we can actually answer that question on the air today. So the questions are yours. Your theme, the subject matter is yours, but we're going to go to the Bible for the answer. So now is your chance. Both lines are available. If you would like to call in your question, you can do so right now at 308-9564. That's the voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Just a reminder, if you use the means to help people to tune in throughout the world, the area code here in the Charleston area code in this area is 843. So all the phone numbers are 843. So let them know that that is the area code for all the phone numbers we'll be using, and they can join us through that means as well. We want to thank you for joining us, and we're ready to go now to our questions. And so go ahead and call in. Even while we're answering one question, we can go ahead and receive your question. It can be written down and brought into us, or you can go live over the air. So don't delay. Go ahead and call in right now. Those of you that are longtime listeners know that sometimes questions pile up at the end and we're not able to get to them all, and that is the case today. So we're going to go ahead and go to these questions that we had left over from last week, and then we will get to the questions that are coming in right now. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's the voice line, or you can text us at 725-9283.
Yeah, we have our first question today. That is actually a question that was from last night, that we had a gospel meeting, a Let the Bible Speak live in person at the Ridgeville Community Center this Friday and Saturday. And we want to thank everyone who was a part of that and who was able to make it out. We greatly appreciate that. And we just want you to know that we were blessed by being able to meet some of you in person that have been part of the Let the Bible Speak radio program by listening to us, as well as those who are part of the Bible correspondence courses, who have gone through the courses We were really, really happy to be able to meet you face to face, as we have done throughout the greater Charleston area and the Tri-County area. And this past weekend was in the Ridgeville, at the Ridgeville Community Center. We thank you to everyone who was able to be a part of that. And one of the questions that someone had left over from that someone mentioned that we're going to be dealing with here today is, where in the Bible does it say when we go to heaven that we will know our mother, father, sister, or family, etc.? Well, there is no passage in the Bible that says we will know and recognize our loved ones. There's just not a passage of scripture that specifically says that. However, there's a few passages of scripture that we can look at to gain a principle from. First of all, we need to recognize that what makes someone our family here on earth is flesh, is blood, flesh and blood. Well, there's one thing that we need to know about flesh and blood concerning heaven, and that comes out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, towards the end of the chapter, starting in verse 40, here we have the Holy Spirit using Paul to write to the church there in Corinth, and he's wrapping up the letter, and he's telling them about the resurrection and about the end of the times. And one of the things that he mentions, starting in verse 40, is the difference between two bodies. Verse 40, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 40 says, "There are also celestial bodies," celestial meaning heavenly, "and terrestrial bodies," terrestrial meaning earthly. "But the glory of the celestial," or heavenly, "the glory of the heavenly," or the celestial, "is one, and the glory of the terrestrial," or earthly, "is one." So he makes a distinguishes between a heavenly body and an earthly body. And there we have to recognize that there is a difference between the heavenly body and the earthly body. Going down in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 49, it says, "And as we have borne the image of the man of dust," being Adam, spiritually, physically, "we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." Verse 50 is key. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption." So these physical bodies that makes us family or friends that we recognize here, physically these bodies will not enter into heaven. These are not the bodies we will be in for those of us who make it to heaven. These the spiritual bodies is what God has promised us, that we will be in the image of him spiritually. So we won't have these physical bodies. Now, along with understanding that in 1 Corinthians 15, we also need to also make mention of the two situations in the gospel accounts. One is in Matthew 17, when Jesus was transfigured in front of Peter, James, and John, and they were able to recognize who Jesus was talking to. Jesus appeared there with Moses and Elijah. Moses to represent the law, Elijah to represent the prophets. So Peter, James, and John, they recognized Moses and Elijah. Well, they had never seen Moses and Elijah, so how were they able to know that that was Moses and Elijah? So, and also consider the story of the rich man and Lazarus, which once again, some people claim that's a parable. There's nowhere in the scripture that says Luke 16 that the rich man and the parable, the rich man and the beggar, there's nowhere that says the rich man and Lazarus is a parable. So if we take it as just a story, which is as it's told, once again, we see here that the rich man who was in torment, he can look up and recognize Abraham, Father Abraham, he says, and he can recognize Lazarus. So we have two examples, one Jesus in the Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John recognizing Moses and Elijah. And we also have an example of Luke 16, where the rich man who was in torment recognized Abraham and Lazarus. So we have two examples of people recognizing someone else. However, we also must accompany that with the understanding of 1 Corinthians 15, that flesh and blood do not enter the kingdom of heaven. So that somehow some way, and the secret things belong to God, so I'm going to leave that to God, but somehow, some way, we will be able to recognize people, but it will not be in these fleshly, physical, earthly bodies. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 40 through 50. Also, Luke chapter 16 and Matthew chapter 17 was the verses that we used. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. It is time for us to go to our first break. Even while we are at break, keep the questions coming in. We greatly appreciate it. Go ahead, take your opportunity to have these questions sent in to us. And you can do that by dialing 308-9564, 308-9564. Or you can text in your question to 725-9283. 725-9283. But while we're at break, and you can sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course, which hopefully you are focused on being able to gain more knowledge of what God wants you to do in this life and being able to show yourself a pleasing to Him. We should be studying and applying God's word to our lives. And the Bible Correspondence Course is something that you can do at your leisure, at your time, on your schedule, whatever makes you happy and whatever makes you able to grow and learn more in the scriptures, you can be focused on that. So please go ahead and dial 553-5157 to be able to grow more in the word and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hopefully that will be something that you take advantage of. And even while we're at break, go ahead, call in your question to 308-9564, 308-9564. We really want to encourage you to sign up for that Bible Correspondence Course. There are literally thousands and thousands of people in the Tri-County area who throughout the years have already signed up for the course. And there are a lot of people, well, less than, but there are hundreds of people who have finished with the course. So there are plenty of lessons and courses that we have and that we encourage you to take part in. And many of those people who have been able to continue to have the self-discipline to go through all of the studies have been very, very happy with their knowledge of the scriptures that they have gained, and also to do some self-examination to recognize some areas in their lives where they have not been pleasing to God. And it's things that they learn that are right there in God's word that are not being taught in many, 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 far too many churches across the land are not teaching all of God's word of what things people need to do to show themselves pleasing to you. So please dial 553-5157. Let the Bible Correspondence Course aid you in growing in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But to reach us here at the station today, to call in your questions, dial 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have a caller from Detroit wanting to ask a question, and they wanted to know how they can tune in when they go back home to Detroit. Well, that's a very easy thing you can do. All you have to do is to go to our website during that time. That's from 1:30 to 3 each Lord's Day, each Sunday. And I forget if Detroit is on Central Time or on Eastern Time, but anyway, it's on Central. Okay, so then that would be 2:30 that'd be 12:30 to 2. And so you tune in during that time. And then go to our website, www.BibleAlone.com, and hit on the live stream, and you can join us every Lord's Day. And while you're on our website, then you can also look at previous broadcast lessons, programs as well. And thus, you're able to study those at any time that you would like to. And so just go to our website, www.BibleAlone.com. And you can tune in via live stream, and you can also text us through that website as well. But we are glad for you to join us, and we hope it is that you'll be able to regularly join us as we go to the Bible for the answer. Well, this caller wants to know this question, the answer to this question. They want to know what the Bible says about musical instruments in church and where to find it. Well, first of all, the phrase in church is a phrase that's used in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and that context does define that as when the church has come together into one place. And so it's never referred to as a building. The word church is never referred to as a building or necessarily even as a address. It is referred to as a group of God's people that come out together to worship God. So I'm going to assume that that's what you meant by your question. And now about the instruments of music is when they gather together. Well, there are none. There is never a record of instruments of music being used in the assembly, in the worship or the gathering of God's people. It is always specified as one particular item that is to be used. In Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19, it specifies that it's supposed to be singing. But if that is not good enough, then look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, where God even makes it even more specific. But before we read that, let me remind most people how to use God's word, because this is probably the most abused book on the face of the planet. They will take it and they will use it like a smorgasbord, take a little here, take a little there, and put it all together and come up with their own souffle. Well, that's not the way the Word of God is to be used. This is God Himself that inspired this book, and so we've got to have a reverence for it to where that we do not abuse what He said. For example, if we were to work on a construction site, and our foreman told us to go get a 2x4, well, that could be 3 inches long, that could be 6 inches long, 6 foot long, or 14 foot long. If he just said, go get me a 2x4, well, that could be any length that we could find. But if he said that we are to go get a 2x4 that is 6 foot 2 inches long, well, then that is specific. We should bring back not an 8 foot one, not a 14 foot, and there's 1,000 other lengths that would be wrong. However, the length that would be right would be only a 2x4 that is 6 foot 2 inches long. So we've got to, when man specifies something, we know what that means. There is no wiggle room. Well, when God specifies something as well, we should appreciate that He is the one in charge, and that when He specifies something, then there is no wiggle room. It's supposed to be exactly like He says. Now, man normally recognizes that when it comes to the Lord's Supper, at least in two elements, that is bread and fruit of the vine. Man has never added, I've never known of a church to add cake and ice cream or macaroni and cheese or anything else to the Lord's Supper. It's always been, in just about every church I know of, some kind of bread and some kind of fruit of the vine. And so when you look and see that man has that much appreciation for what God specified, why, when God specifies what kind of music worship is supposed to be given to Him, does man take liberty and change it to another kind? Well, I don't know why, but here's what God specified. I'm looking at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, where God Himself specified, therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So God specified what kind of praise was supposed to be given to Him. And in that verse, He said drums, didn't He? No. He said pianos, no. Organs, no. Guitars, no. What did He say? Well, God specified the fruit of our lips. And that eliminates every other kind of praise that there is. And so we've got to understand, when God specified the kind of praise that should be given to Him, then that's the end of the statement. Now, He didn't tell us what tune to sing. He told us to sing praise, and it should be the fruit of our lips. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. Again, those verses are Hebrews 13:15, Ephesians 5:19, and Colossians 3:16. Thank you so much, and we do hope you're able to join us even when you go back to Detroit. And thank you so much for your question today. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-9564. WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak. We're about to go to break again. We want you to know as we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions, and we are happy to get them. We will do our best to make certain all those questions are answered on today's broadcast. But even while we are at break, you can continue to call the phone number for the Bible Correspondence Course to be sent to you. That number is 553-5157. Now, what's unique about this is you can study this at any time you want to, day or night. You can take it in the middle of the night, you wake up, you can go and study God's Word with this Correspondence Course. Now, once you fill it out, then send it back to us and we'll send the next lessons to you. There's probably at least half of you that only get the first lesson. And the reason for that is because you never send it back to us. So go ahead and fill it out, study it, see what God says, fill it out, send it back to us. Then we will grade it, send the next lessons back to you, and it'll be back and forth until you finish it. And so we're just so glad to be able to send that to you free of charge. And let me add one more point before we go to break, and that is you very well may discover things in God's Word that you have never seen before. I know many of you pride yourself on your Bible knowledge. Well, there are many things the God of this world has hidden so that many people are not seeing vital truth that very well may keep them from eternity with God. So isn't don't you think it's important that just in case we've missed some things because of the God of this world, that is the devil, if he has caused us to be blind to some things, isn't it time to take those blinders off? I agree. Go ahead and enroll right now. Here's information on it, 553-5157, and enroll in this course, and we'll be glad to send it to you free of charge. Now, while we are at break, continue to call in your questions, and we will let the Bible speak. You have shown interest in knowing what God, wanting to know what God says. Again, we're not God, and nor do we claim to be. We are absolutely nothing but dirt that is put together in these vessels, that God may be glorified, that we might be able to learn how valuable we are to God. That information comes from God's Word. And so we are honored to be able to share with you what God says from His Word so that we might be able to be blessed eternally with Him. So don't miss out on getting that Correspondence Course. Learn what God has planned for you. There are things that maybe we don't know about. Well, the only way we can find out what God wants for us is to go to His Word. He's not going to be a respecter of persons and single out any one of us with a special communication that is different than God's Word. Matter of fact, Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9, Paul himself would be cursed if he were to do that. An angel from heaven would be accursed if they came up with anything different than God's Word. That's why it's so important to listen to what God says in His Word and let the Bible speak. So go ahead and enroll in that course. That number is 553-5157. It will be in tomorrow's mail, and we are happy to send it to you absolutely free. There's no obligation. Please do not send us your tithes and offerings. Do not send us your contribution. Let us give you the treasure that God wants to bless you with for an eternity. The only way to find out about that is listen to Him and His Word. Go ahead and enroll in the course, 553-5157. Now, if you have your question ready, go ahead and call in. The voice line is 308-9564. The text line is also available. That number is 725-9283. Chuck, you have a question?
Yeah, we have another question that was left over from last week that says, is it true that we do not live by the Ten Commandments anymore? Is it true we do not live by the Ten Commandments? Well, if we look at Hebrews chapter 9, we will see a couple of verses that can give us an answer to this question about not living by the Ten Commandments anymore. And in Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 15, talking about Jesus, it says, and for this reason, He is the mediator of a new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, being the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Verse 16, for where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. So the new covenant, Christ's new covenant, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about Christ when he was instituting the Lord's Supper. He said, this is the new covenant in my blood. So Christ's new covenant, it came into effect after he died on the cross. Colossians 2 verse 14 shows us this as well. Colossians 2:14, the latter portion says, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Once again, this is referring to the Old Testament commandments. And also Galatians 5 verse 4 that says, Christ has become of no effect to you. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. So when you try to justify yourself by the old law, you are fallen from grace. And also consider Hebrews chapter 8 verse 13 that says, in that he says, a new covenant has made the first obsolete. Now that which is obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Once again, that was Hebrews chapter 8 verse 13, Hebrews chapter 9 verses 15 through 17, Galatians 5 4 and Colossians 2 14. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. 308-9564. 308-9564 to call your question into the program.
That's your voice line, and so that's available right now if you'd like to call in your question. That's the voice line, 308-9564, or you can text us through your cell phone or through our website at 725-9283, and we are glad to be able to get your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. We have Isaac calling in this question. He's wanting clarification on Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, 5, and 6. He wants to please us to please explain. Well, let me give you God's explanation of this whole book to begin with, and that is given in verse 1, Revelation 1 and verse 1, where God says, Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave, or this is God using John to write these things down, and it says, and gave, that God gave him to show his servant things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. Now, interesting choice of words that God gave there is that the idea of signified. The first four letters of that word is S-I-G-N, which means, which is the word sign. This book was written in signs. This was different than any of the other 27 books. 26 books of the New Testament. And so you look and see that this book was written in signs. So it's highly in signs significant or having signs and symbols. And thus you see the depiction of plagues and of bowls of wrath and monsters and beasts and such. And so when you get to chapter 20, there's no reason to suggest that it is no longer in signs, or it is put this way. And so when we get to chapter 20, it says, and I saw thrones. This is another thing that John saw that God revealed to him. And so as he depicts these pictures, here's the picture. I saw thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received the mark on his forehead and on his hands, for they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. And this was the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. So what does this mean? Well, there's a lot of things as far as the significance of the specifics of this vision that was given to him there. There's a lot of speculation that is used about this. And so sometimes one of the best ways to examine a passage is to figure out what it is not saying, and because that would contradict other scripture. And so this is a verse or a passage, our book is actually, of all the books in the New Testament, this one is abused more than any other book on the face of the earth. And so when you look and you see how this book comes packaged with its own curse built right in, that is chapter 22, verse 18 and 19, if any man add to this book or take away from this book, there's plagues associated with that, a curse. And so it comes packaged with its own curse. So we certainly do not want to abuse or make this book mean some things that it does not mean. So wouldn't it be nice if there was a passage of Scripture that would actually depict what is about to happen or what could happen when Christ returns without all of the symbolism or the signage associated with that or the visions associated with that? And the answer to that question is, yes, that would be great. And there is. When you turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, we see here the next event that will take place with Christ's return and what's going to happen. And it's not symbolic language. It is very exact and very clear what it is that will take place soon. Now, again, we judge soon with the tick of the clock or the passing of the years, where a day with the Lord is a thousand years, and a thousand years is a day, it says in verse 8. But then in verse 10, it says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. So when Christ returns, what's going to happen to this earth and the heavens, that is the home of the stars, the home of the birds, certainly not the home of God. Those are the three heavens the Bible talks about. So what's going to happen to them? Well, they're going to be burned up. He says it again, verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because in which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Now, there's what's going to happen in clear, forthright language when Christ returns. So what does that passage not say? Well, it talks about a thousand years there. And it talks about his kingdom. Well, my brethren, the kingdom was set up in the first century. So write these verses down. I hope you have pencil. I hope you never listen to this program without paper and pencil. Here are several verses that show the kingdom was set up in the first century, and thus all of these speculatory stories of events that man has come up with are taken down with these verses, because the kingdom was set up in the first century. Here we go. Mark 9:1, Jesus said, some of you that stand here will not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come with power. So either the kingdom came in the first century, or there are some mighty old people on the face of the earth. Luke 17, verse 20 and 21, they ask him about the coming of his kingdom, and he says, the kingdom of God comes not with observation, neither will they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So it's not going to be a physical kingdom like all these people prognosticate. The kingdom was not going to be coming with observation. Matter of fact, Jesus just put it this way in John 18:36. My kingdom is not of this world. For if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight that I'd not be delivered to the Jews. My kingdom is not from hence. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 2, the very first sermon preached by the gospel, by the apostles, puts Jesus on a throne. Who is it that sits on the throne, my friend? Yeah, a king. So Jesus is reigning on his throne starting there in Acts chapter 2. Matter of fact, Paul that started out Saul, called Paul in Colossians 1 in verse 13, says that we have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So Paul was in the kingdom. And if you want to use Revelation 1:9, John himself depicts himself as in the kingdom in Revelation 1 and verse 9. One more verse while you're writing. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. 8 says, wherefore receiving a kingdom, present tense, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably and with godly fear. And so there you have it. Mark 9:1, Luke 17:20-21, John 18:36, Colossians 1:13, Hebrews 12:28, and Revelation 1 and verse 9. The kingdom was set up in the first century. And there comes all those theories come tumbling down about premillennial reign of Christ. He's reigning right now. He's on his throne. So there comes all that down. It's time for us to take our next break. We want you to know that while we're at break, you can continue to call in your question, and we will be glad to go to the Bible for the answer as we let the Bible speak. The Bible Correspondence Course, it's never too late to go ahead and enroll in that. Do that right now. 553-5157. Here's more information on that. But don't delay. Go ahead and call in your question, and that way you'll be assured that your question will be answered on today's broadcast. That number, 308, that you've joined us. We hope and pray that this is a blessing to you, because all we're doing is going to the Bible for the answer. We noticed that we just missed a call. If you will, call back. I think we have one line available right now, and we'll be able to get to your question. So please don't not call back. We are glad to have your question. And sometimes if we are talking to one person, then the phone just keeps on ringing. So it takes us a time to get from one call to the next. So just go ahead and let the phone ring. And if it times out, then just hang up and hit redial, and you'll be able to get through. We have a live caller standing by, and this is something in reference to the Old Testament being obsolete today. Caller, are you there? How can we help you? Go ahead. Hello, are you there? One more time. We have a live caller. Are you there? Okay, they must have hung up. Yep. All right, so we want you to know that in reference, it's on that subject. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4 would be something to consider. Galatians 5:4, be sure to read that. Actually, chapters 3, 4, and 5, but when you get to chapter 5, verse 4, God, through Paul, puts it this way: Christ has become of no effect unto you. Who's that? Those of you that are justified by law, you are fallen from grace. We didn't say that. That's what God says. That's Galatians chapter 5. And verse 4. So we have to make certain that we go to the Bible for all the answers. And now we're going to give heed to Christ, who created the New Testament for us to live under. A testament, agreement, contract, a covenant. So now we're to live under this new covenant that he created for us. And being that he said now in Matthew 28 and verse 18, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. So if he's got it all, yes, we better listen to him. And that law went into effect with his death on the cross. All authority was given to him. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we'll be glad to take your question live over the air, or it can be written down and brought in to us. Chuck, you have a question?
Yeah, we have another question, but just before we go to that, I just want to add Hebrews chapter 7 through 10. If you look at that whole context, all of those chapters, 7, 8, 9, and 10, go ahead and look at that context, and you will see clearly, without a doubt, no matter what you've been taught all your life about the Old Testament and the Ten Commandments, that if you really look at the context of Hebrews chapter 7 through 10, you will see undeniably that the New Testament law overrides, replaces the Old Testament law. So that's Hebrews chapter 7 through 10. But this question here, we have a text question. This texter says, is a wife supposed to love her husband? Well, we can look at Titus chapter 2 and able to answer us that question. We see Titus chapter 2 starting in verse 1. It's telling how different groups of people should be. Verse 2, it says, older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and patience. Verse 3 says, older women, likewise, they must be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, and not given to much wine, and teachers of good things, that they may admonish or warn or instruct the young women to do what? Verse 4, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good. obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So if their husbands are obedient to the word of God and are leading the home and following after Christ's example and being Christ's image, then the wife should obey and follow after her husband only in the things of the Lord, as long as the husband's not leading them away from the Lord. And also consider Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33, which is the end of the chapter. So Ephesians 5, verse 22 through the end of the chapter show the love that is supposed to be evident in the husband-wife relationship. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. That was Titus, verses 1 through 5, as well as Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through the end of the chapter. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station, 308-9564. Or you can text in your question. Text in the line is 725-9283, 725-9283.
We just got word that there was about 10 minutes of broadcast that was not on the air, and so we apologize for that. Hopefully that those of you that changed the stations are back with us now, and we hope and pray that you will continue on as we study from God's Word. And we apologize, of course, that we did not even know that we were off the air. And so hopefully, Lord willing, we're able to stay on the air the rest of the time. And so we're going to go to the Bible for all the questions that pertain to life and godliness that you have. And we will go to the Bible for those answers. Again, call in your question right now at 308-9564. That is the voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283. And we are happy to be able to go to the Bible for your questions. We have Ben calling in this question. He's referencing Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19, where Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And he wants to know where those other churches came from. Well, first of all, Ben, let's establish that you are absolutely right, that we should be concerned about this. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 3 or 2 and 3, it says, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism." Now, from this passage, how many bodies are there according to this passage? Right, there is only one body, just as there is one Spirit and one Lord and one Father and one faith and one baptism. There is only one body. So what is this body? Well, the same book answers that question. Chapter 1, verse 22. "And he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body." So if there's only one body, then how many churches are there if the church and the body are the same thing? Exactly. So, Ben, you're exactly right. When Jesus said, "I will build my church," that's exactly what he meant. And when you look at Matthew 28 and verse 18, he said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth." And so his church is under his headship. Again, this passage says he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to his church. So he's the head of it. He's the one in charge. He owns it. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 says that he purchased the church with his blood. So he purchased it with his blood. He's the head over it. He says there's only one and it belongs to him. Ben, I think you're right on there. There is only one church the Bible speaks of. But your question is, where did all these others come from? Well, the obvious question is, it didn't come from God, that's for sure. So if it's not from God, and God is going to deliver up his church to his Father one day, then which group is going to make it to heaven? Right. It will only be his church. So doesn't it behoove us? Doesn't it concern us to where that we can and should only be part of that one church that belongs to Christ? Yeah, I think that's what we should do. So which one is that? What church does that look like? Well, it looks just like the church in the Bible. It worships. This group gathers together and worships like they did. They become Christians just like they did. They follow the doctrine and teaching just like they did in the first century. Well, where are you going to find a church like that? Well, that's a good question. We shouldn't ever give up searching. We should try to be part of a group that believes and obeys and follows just what God says, to be a church that belongs to Christ. And the only way we're going to discover how to find that church is for us to see what that church looks like. The only way we're going to be able to find out what that church looks like is for us to study and see from His Word what they look like. And then, with that kind of information, we can go about finding the kind of church that belongs just to Christ. It will be called by described like they were described, and they will be teaching and worshiping just like they did in the first century. Ben, very good question. Thank you so much for bringing that to our attention and giving us opportunity to point that out. You see, the God of this world has blinded the eyes of many religious folks to where that they think they can follow after a different gospel than the one the Bible speaks of. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, even Paul put his own neck on the chopping block when he says, even if we, including himself, are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which we've preached to you 2,000 years ago, let him be accursed. That is like a super curse. It is anathema. It is the worst kind of cursing. Yeah. Do we want to be part of something like that? No. As a matter of fact, if you read the whole context, verses 6 through 9, you'll see there, or the whole chapter, you'll see that God was very concerned about that in the first century. Galatians might have been the very first book that God inspired Paul to write. And he says in verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And so he marvels. It is some of the very first things he wrote, that they had been removed from the grace of Christ. So if that, by following after a different teaching, removed them from Christ, will it remove us from Christ? Okay. You see how important it is for us to stick with what the Bible says and nothing but what God says? Yeah. So let's find out what God says so that we can show ourselves approved to Him and that He, God, who will have the final word, may be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Why not begin that journey, if you've never done this, by enrolling in this course, which is absolutely free? Here are the details on it. Even while we are at break, go ahead and call in your questions, but don't miss out on getting this course in the mail to you. We'll be glad to send it to you. Absolutely free. Please do not send us your money. Do not send us your tithes and offerings. Let us send you the treasure that only is contained in God's Word. The number to call in your questions, 308-9564. That's the question line, voice line. You can text us at 725-9283. Or if you want the course, here's the information on that. We'll be right back. In godliness, and we're glad to be able to share it with you. We're glad to send the correspondence course to you as well. And so please do not hesitate to go ahead and call in your questions, and we will go to the Bible for the answers. Go ahead and enroll in the correspondence course, and we'll get that in the mail to you tomorrow. Either way, we're happy to be able to be of service to you. Again, the number for their questions, the voice line is 308-9564, and the correspondence course number is, if you want to enroll in the course, is 553-5157. And so don't hesitate to enroll in that if you've never received that course. And by the way, study it, fill it out, send it back into us so we can get the next lessons to you. And thus you're able to study in the privacy of your home. Did I mention that you very well, you may discover things in God's Word you've never seen before? Go ahead. get that course in the mail to you, and we're glad to be able to send it to you. Again, the number here for your question is 308-9564. Our text line is 725-9283.
Chuck? We have Patricia calling in this question. Patricia, thank you for calling in your question. Thank you for listening to the program. We appreciate it. Patricia's question says, what does the abundant life mean? Well, this is probably taken from John chapter 10 and verse 10. Here Jesus says in John 10 verse 10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So abundantly, that word from the Greek translation of it, as close as what we can get in English, meaning like superiority or extraordinary or surpassing the common, just uncommon or preeminence. So it's a life that's it's better. It's just it's a lot better. It's surpassing. It's extraordinary. There is a superiority to this type of life. And so it is a lot better than any alternative that you may have. And the reason why Christ said he can offer this, and we look over at 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but turn over to 1 John, which is before Jude and Revelation. We look over at 1 John in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested. And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Here, Jesus is described as, or Jesus is called, eternal life. That's just beautiful. So here we have Jesus telling them, in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, he told them that, I came that you may have life and have life more abundantly. And then over in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we have the Holy Spirit through John calling Jesus, who also is a logos or the spoken word, calling him eternal life. Jesus is the eternal life. So that better option, once again, the word abundantly meaning just extraordinary or better than the alternative, is just a lot. It's just the best that you can offer. And so that is that's the closest thing that I could see as far as the scriptures that would let you have a better understanding of what that term abundant life meaning. Hopefully that's been helpful to you, Patricia, as well as anyone else who may have had that question. 308-9564 to call us here at the station, 308-9564 to let the Bible speak.
We have a caller texting in this question. They want to know, here's information, and they want to know about that. Says a Christian man who has separated from his wife is wanting to date in the interim. The divorce is not final. What does the Bible say? He plans to take the relationship further after the divorce. He agrees that they will not kiss or have relationships. He agrees that both have feelings for one another. Yes, I'm sure just about the whole radio audience just raised their eyebrow a little bit. However, this program is called Let the Bible Speak, so let's see what God says. In Matthew chapter 19, and beginning with verse 3, Jesus was asked the question, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason? He answered and said unto them, have you not read that he who made them male and female in the beginning, and for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Well, so is it okay to divorce for any reason? Well, he says, no, of course not. Well, then they ask him, well, then why did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce to put her away? That's verse 7. So here is Jesus' answer concerning them. Moses, because the hardness of your heart permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Well, he makes it very plain, doesn't he? And now Jesus, as he often does, adds these extra comments. And I say to you, whosoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whosoever marries her who is divorced, commits adultery. And you see, there's only one exception to this rule of divorce and remarriage would be when that is for the cause, the divorce is for the cause of sexual immorality, fornication, extramarital sexual relationship. That is the only reason that God ever gives someone to have an opportunity to ever marry a second time while their first is alive. So there you got it. Now it goes on and explains that there's going to be some that won't like this. And matter of fact, in verse 10, he says, and such is the case with a man and his wife. This is what the disciple says. If that's the case, well, it's better not to marry. And Jesus understood this. He says, all cannot accept this, say, but only those who to whom it is given. Not all can accept this, but only to those that are willing to accept it. And then he brings up this idea of eunuchs. He says, there are eunuchs who were born thus. There are those from their mother's womb. There are the eunuchs that were made eunuchs. And then there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. So Jesus brings this up. And so it's important to be able to know how important this is. And hopefully that has been helpful to you.
Real quick, the texter, the same person just texted back to add the information that this man's wife left him. But it doesn't specify that it was for sexual immorality. It just says that she left him.
Right, right. And so when you look and see what is the cause, you know, of this breakup? Well, there could be a thousand things. But God says only one reason should cause a marriage to break up and give freedom for the innocent party to remarry. And that would be sexual immorality. And so that's the only reason why that would even be entertained. But three times he brings out, God intended one man for one woman for life. That's the plan all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and it is still the plan for God today, and that from God today. And that's the way God intended it to be. So, there's a lot of holes that man has dug for himself and a lot of situations that they've got themselves in. That doesn't mean that they can't go to heaven. What that means is they've got to stop sinning to go to heaven. And that ends their sexual relationships for life, if that has been the case. Some may have to make themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of God's sake. That was verse 12. Again, the number is 308-9564.
We have Carolyn calling in this question. Carolyn's question says, how are believers supposed to get married? How are believers supposed to get married? Well, that's a good question, and hopefully something that we, those who would be unmarried, would be able to think about and have on their priority list. And those who are married, things that they should consider to remember and recognize that they should continue doing. Now, there are many passages that tell of the marriage relationship between the man and the woman, the husband and the wife, in ways they are supposed to love one another. I gave one earlier, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through the end of the chapter. That gives instructions to both male and female, the man and the wife, as to ways they are supposed to love one another. Also, there's Colossians 3, verses 18 through 20. There's also 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that whole chapter, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. Which that love there in 1 Corinthians 13, that's not held or bound to just a marriage or a relationship, because it doesn't mention marriage. However, it is focused on love, the way we're supposed to love one another. And so if that love is good for anyone, any relationships or people that we may know as friendships or whatever, so it definitely would be applicable to the marriage relationship. Although I don't want to make anyone think that is only what it's talking about, because it's not. So it's 1 Corinthians 13 that talks about love, verses 4 through 7. There's Colossians 3, verses 17 and 18. There is 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And also there is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through the end of the chapter. So there are various scriptures that show character traits that a husband and a wife are supposed to have. And so the way that believers, the way that those who are following Christ should get married or be focused on getting married is looking for characteristics of the opposite sex that show that person is willing and focused on doing God's will and being a servant of God. Once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 brings that out, how your focus is on, when you're married, the focus is on pleasing your spouse. But when you're unmarried, that person would be focused on pleasing the Lord. So one of the things we could be looking for, those who are unmarried, is to be focusing on finding someone who is focused on serving the Lord, so that that person who is of the opposite sex would be able to help you and be able to serve the Lord better. And also, that person is going to be influencing your kids. So your kids should be able to grow with two parents, both parents that are focused on serving the Lord. So how should believers be able to get married, Carolyn, as well as anyone else who may have this question? We should be focused on people trying to serve the Lord. And if that spouse, our future spouse, is focused on serving the Lord, and we are also focused on serving the Lord, then that's a great foundation for a relationship. I believe we have a live caller, Ben. We want to get to him before break or after break?
Ben, go ahead. Let's go ahead and put you on before the break, and then we'll just break for after your comments, and then we will continue the program. Ben, are you there?
Yeah.
How can we help you?
Well, you have truly helped me today. Today I was going through a lot, and praise God, God gave me the answer of what I was going through because of the program that I was listening to today. Everything that you said, it speaks exactly to my situation.
Oh, good.
And I give God all the glory and the praise and the honor for it today. Today I have the victory over anything that Satan was trying to throw at me. God helped me to overcome it.
Oh, well, wonderful.
I thank God for WJNI. I have been listening to you about 12 or 10 years now.
Oh, well, we're glad to be able to be of help. And hopefully, yes, God is the one to get all the glory, because all we're doing is just relaying what the Bible says, and thus he is the one that should get all the glory.
I mean, it's like praise God. Whatever I was going through, I just sit there and surrender what I was going through. I sit there and listen to what y'all was teaching on, and I said, hey, God, you are talking to me here. And that's what God did to me today. He spoke to me through this.
Through the word. That's great. And that's the way we should always look at God's word, that it's not the word of men. When we see it, book, chapter, and verse out of the Bible, it is the word of God. Thank you, Ben, so much for your comment.
Thank you guys too, man.
You're too. We commend you, and we thank you for listening, and that shows your attitude and heart.
Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. It's time for us to go to break now. We want you to know that while we're at break, continue to call in your questions, and we will let the Bible speak. We'll be right back. We're back live now. We want you to know this is your last opportunity to enroll in the Bible Correspondence course during the radio broadcast. And so please don't miss out on getting the course to you in tomorrow's mail if you've never received it. And those of you that have received it, then if you have not received anything a second time, it's because we didn't get it back the first time. So it's important for you to make certain that you are active, because we're not going to fill your mailbox full of just things to throw away. And so once you fill out the correspondence course and send it back to us, then that lets us know you are eager, you are seeking. And thus we'll grade that and send you the next lessons. And then when you fill those out and send them back, then we'll send you the next lessons. And so back and forth until you finish each of the courses. We got the opportunity to meet one of our Bible students last night who had gone through well over 10, I think probably close to 15 different courses of Bible studies through us. And so we were thrilled to be able to meet her. Her name is Mary. And we are glad that you as well, if you have an interest in getting this Bible correspondence course, Please know, everything we offer is absolutely free. We are happy to send this to you, so don't miss out on getting these. Again, that number is 553-5157. Don't hesitate. Go ahead and enroll in this, and we're more than happy to send it to you free of charge. It'll be in tomorrow's mail, Lord willing. So again, that number is 553-5157, and we'll get that course in the mail to you. Again, you may discover things as you study that you have never seen before. So don't miss out on that. 553-5157. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call. I think we're about to be called up, so you can go ahead and call in your question, and we can get to it on today's broadcast. The number is 308-9564, or you can text your question in right now at 725-9283. Get us your question. We'll go to the Bible for the answer as we let the Bible speak. Chuck?
We have Carolyn calling in another question. Her question says, well, where in the Bible does it say you need a marriage license? I don't think there's anywhere in the New Testament that mentions anything about a marriage license. I believe that's just something that our government requires. And if that's the case, that's something our government requires, then that falls under Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 and 2 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So we have a command from God to respect and follow and obey the commands of our government. Now, the only time where we would be able to not do that is when it comes to matters of God. If the government is forcing us to go against something that God's word teaches, then we should follow God. We have example in Acts chapter 5 of Peter and John went through that exact situation where they were forced to decide between obeying God and obeying man. And in Acts chapter 5, in verse 29, Peter answered them and said, Peter and the apostles answered and said, we obey God rather than men. So we should always be focused on obeying God and serving God. And then one of the things that he tells us to do is to obey the government and follow the government. So the government requires us to have a marriage license, and that's not a sin against God, then we should follow in that if that's the case in marriage. So hopefully that's been helpful to you, as well as anyone else who may have had a similar question. The program is closing up, but please don't hesitate to call in your question, 308-9564. You have just enough time to be able to get your question in, 308-9564. Go ahead, call right now. Pick up the phone, call right now, 308-9564. We'll try to get your question before the end of the broadcast. Ricky, do you have something?
Yes, someone just texted in this question. They want to know why Noah cursed his son. Well, it wasn't Noah that cursed his son. It was God that cursed his son for showing disrespect to his father. Somehow Noah ended up intoxicated and found himself in his tent there without clothes on. And so instead of just walking away and leaving him to himself, he goes out and tells his brothers about it, and therefore makes fun or tries to create a humorous thing, or whatever the motivation might have been. It was a dishonorable thing, and thus his brothers backed in without looking and covered up the dad while he was asleep. And so, therefore, God cursed him for that kind of disrespect to his father. And so, thus he would forever be that way. So what is that? Well, we do not know at all. It just, because of that disrespect, there was some kind of mark against him because of that behavior. It wasn't Noah's doing, it was God's doing. And you'll find that story in Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, the last half of the chapter. And you can read all about it there. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will let the Bible speak. We want you to know that the correspondence course is still available to you for about five more minutes. Go ahead and call 553-5157, and we're happy to send this to you free of charge. 553-5157. Just don't worry about it being a busy signal. It can handle more than one call at a time. Go ahead and call right now, 553-5157, and we're happy to send that to you free of charge. It'll be in tomorrow's mail. We got another question?
Yeah, a question that says, what does the Bible say about children born out of wedlock? Well, the God's Word says everything against marriage, premarital sex. And so the only way you can have children out of wedlock is to have premarital sex. And we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where God, the Holy Spirit, says through Paul that, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. So do not be tricked. Neither fornicators, which is those who have premarital sex outside of marriage, nor idolaters, adulterers, and it goes on. And he says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. So God forbids that. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10.
Okay, we have another question that just came in. Is all temptation resistible? Well, good question. I don't think we've ever had that question before. That's kind of an interesting question. Well, you'll find your answer in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Where now this is to the child of God, to someone that belongs to the Lord. God promises this: there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man, that God will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. And so, again, that's 1 Corinthians 10:13. Thank you for your question. We sure do appreciate it. We're about to run out of time. We want you to know that we are happy to have been in your presence. We hope today's study has been a blessing to you. Obviously, because you are listening, you very well may be that seeker that God is looking to find. He says, seek and you will find, knock and it shall be opened, ask and it shall be given. That's a promise that God gives. We do hope that you are that person that is seeking and that God is directing you to find the truth. Be sure to enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course. There is much truth that you will discover from God's Word through that. And also call us and ask for a Let the Bible Speak session in your home. We will be glad to come and answer questions there in your home, especially if you're fairly close to the Goose Creek area. We'd be more than happy to make those arrangements. Call and just leave that message at 553-5157, and we will make arrangements to get back in touch with you to see you in person and find out the riches that God has planned for you in His Word. My friend, it will not come by seeking after physical things or money or position or power. It'll only come by seeking after the eternal things, those things that we cannot see, as we obediently love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Learning to be content with such things as we have is part of it, but the answers will come not from church doctrines or from people or from experiences. It will come from the Word of God as we let the Bible speak.